Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. The radio show's page is where we post the podcast, as well as on the homepage from SoundCloud. We're also on iTunes, and I am giving you notification via Facebook as to the various guests we have coming up in the coming weeks. And so I hope you will check that out. We have a page on Facebook. It's Richard Dugan TMYS at Facebook, Richard Dugan TMYS. So hopefully you'll check that out. Also, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear from you, whether it's on Facebook or an email address, which we have is TMYS, standing for Tell Me Your Story, at richarddugan.com, TMYS at richarddugan.com. Well, today we're going to travel a bit, a lot more than just a bit. We're going to be traveling not only, as they say, across the pond, but also across the universe. We're going to be talking with a gal who resides in the UK, but has connections far beyond that. We're going to be talking with a psychic medium, healer, Reiki master, shamanic practitioner, a channel for the Pleiadians, since childhood. She's written a book. She has a book out that is called The Pleiadian Children. Carol Noonan is my guest. And Carol, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Richard. It's great to be here. And thank you for this opportunity to talk to you.
I know that
it's half four here in the UK. So
I'm sorry? Say again?
It's half four here in the UK.
Ah, okay. Well, we are excited. We're excited to have you with us here on the program because we have talked many times on the program about the universal influences, if you will, on our process to to get through to make it through some of these challenging times. We've also heard it said by some that we are, those of us who are here, we are considered by those on the other side to be heroes because we've chosen to be here at this time, which I guess is going to be a rather interesting time. As the old Chinese proverb we hear often is, we live in interesting times. And some would say, to say the very least, we live in interesting times. But you have been connected both through, I don't know if I want to call it telepathy or intuition or what the mode of communication is with various beings and entities through whether it's dimensions or across, as I said earlier, the universe. And especially in regards to this book, The Pleiadian Children, we've heard about the Indigo Children, we've heard about the Rainbow Children, the Crystal Children, and all these different categories. And I've also heard it said that there is no group that's going to, or what have you, that's going to interfere in our, shall we say, natural process. They have what would be considered the prime directive of non-interference. And yet, at the same time, we have folks such as yourself who are receiving messages that are supposedly to help us through this challenge. Can you talk to us a little bit about, and maybe there is no paradox, maybe there is no dichotomy there, but can you share with us your perspectives with your experiences in these areas as to the level of interference or non-interference by others off planet?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me just start by addressing some of the questions you just asked, previously, just now. And I'll start by telling you a little bit about my story. I started to write in 2009 when I was going through a separation, and I left my ex-husband and moved back to Ireland. And I started to write and I started to channel. And initially, I had just plan to sit down and write my story about my childhood and my experiences, because it was quite unusual and it was quite traumatic. So my initial idea was to just write about my story. And I started to channel right. And I didn't know who I was connected to at the time. And then in 2010, I realized it was the Pleiadians I was channeling. And then I did a couple of shamanic courses in Ireland with Paul O'Halloran in Galway. And through him, through his courses and his teachings and his work that I was doing in groups, I began to have memories of the Pleiadians and them connected to me as a child. So my connection to, or their connection to me goes way back. And, and I've also had experiences as well of having, during the courses, of having connected to the Pleiadians in previous lifetimes as well. So it doesn't, it's not just this lifetime. It goes back quite a few lifetimes.
How did you know that you were communicating with or receiving messages from the Pleiadians?
Well, actually, it's very simple. They told me.
Oh, okay.
So when they first connected to me, yeah, I mean, they told me, you know, but it was quite a process because I started to channel right in 2009 and 2010, they told me it was them. But I, it's interesting because I did receive an email from a guy in America called Joshua Shapiro, who does the crystal skulls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I'm familiar.
And at first I just... Yeah, at first I just thought he was a bit of a nut job, a crack job, you know. And then I started to realize, because the email he sent me was that we would be working together. And but initially I thought he was crazy. And then a few days later, they told me they were the Pleiadians. And I could see them and... hear them in my mind's eye. So it is like telepathy. Excuse me, because you were saying that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me they were the Pleiadians, but I have been connected to them as a child. So their energy was very familiar to me, but I just didn't realize as a child that's who I was connecting to. My book is called The Pleiadian Child. But I do believe that there are thousands of us out there. You know, I'm not the only one that's connected to Pleiadian energy as a child. And I think there's thousands of us out there. And some people have remembered and some haven't. And some are still in the process of self-disbelief and asking themselves the question, who in their right mind is going to believe me and who am I to be channeling the Pleiadians? Because I think it's a process. I think it's impossible for people to suddenly appear on the radio one day or in public and publicly say that I'm channeling the Pleiadians. I think it's quite a personal journey and process that people need to go through individually. So I think when the time's right, there'll be more and more of us coming out and saying, you know, I'm a channel for the Pleiadians or Sirius or whoever. You know, and we're not alone. We've never been alone. And we're coming in groups now more and more in waves of people. And we do have to be warriors. But I think that we wouldn't have, if we'd realized that the contract was going to, what the contract was going to be like fully before we entered into it, because I do think it's a contract, we may not have taken that step.
It's very interesting to talk with you and folks who have had these kinds of experiences, have had these connections, in essence. For a lot of us, you know, I try to trust and follow my intuition as much as possible. My mother asked me one time if I've ever had any supernatural experiences, and I had to answer that I don't know. I mean, if I did, it was just whatever happened. And I looked at it more as a normal occurrence, as just part of my life. I didn't find it bizarre or strange. So it was hard for me to say, oh, yeah, this happened and it was weird and so forth. And yet, a lot of times we get those kinds of communications, especially in our dreams, let alone maybe if we're in the waking state and we get that voice inside that speaks to us and says, hey, you know, turn left as opposed to turn right and vice versa. In terms of our abilities, our capacity as individuals to be able to communicate, to have those kinds of conversations such as you have? Because I keep hearing that phrase that, you know, everybody can do this, but not everybody, it's not necessarily their life's purpose. It's not necessarily part of what they're supposed to be about, that keeps them, so to speak, from doing that. So you've been doing this since, again, since childhood. Obviously, I would venture you probably kept it under wraps for the most part for quite a while. It wasn't something that you went public with, especially going to school.
You bet I did, Richard. I kept it very quiet. I kept it very quiet, yeah. And I kept it very quiet. And I didn't tell a lot of people about my spiritual experiences as a child, to the point that my brother and my family thought I was autistic, because I wasn't speaking, I wasn't engaging with them. But, you know, obviously now I realized I was in between two worlds a lot as a child. I was more in the spirit world as a child than I was there physically. And it is part of my life's journey, and my life's purpose to be channeling the Pleiadians, and they have told me that. And I do have a huge amount of trust in them, which has built up. But you were saying about, you know, because this is normal stuff. This is stuff that we can all do. You know, I'm not in any way special at all. I had a very traumatic childhood, to the point I was kind of, in a sense, cracked, and was then therefore very open to spirit. Mm-hmm. But I was contracted in to do that. So I've always been very open and very aware, and also sometimes not willingly. But this is normal stuff. This is stuff that anyone can do. It's stuff that we've been conditioned that we can't do it. And therefore, we, you know, the majority of people will believe, well, I can't do that because that's not normal. That's you know, that's auras and chakras and color and sound and telepathy and healing. And that is normal stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not esoteric or you know, paranormal stuff. It's not. It's normal stuff that we're all innately are able to do. We've just been so conditioned by the other side. We've been so dumbed down and so misled so misled and misdirected to believe that we're so much less than we actually are, when the opposite is the very opposite is true. We are so much more than we've been told that we are, you know.
I also am curious, the title of your book is The Pleiadian Child. Is there one individual in particular that you're communicating with, who is sharing with you the information that's contained in this work, in addition, obviously, to information about yourself?
Ashtar.
That name is familiar. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before. That is mm-hmm. this someone who has been communicating with various individuals down through, what, the centuries, the eons, if you will, here on this planet?
I would say so. I do get that feeling. I get the feeling that he's been around a long time and been communicating with a lot of people. And he's quite well known. If some of the images on the internet, where the Pleiadians are tall and blonde and very thin and quite angular features, and that's how they always appear to me. I also get a sense of blue around them. But when I see them, I always see them behind me, and slightly to my left as well. So that's how they appear to me. And I don't tend to research stuff, because I don't want anything to interfere, because I don't want it to interfere with what I'm getting, you know, mm-hmm. directly. So that's why I try to, as much as I can, I don't research anything.
Do you?
So he's well known and connected to a lot of people, you know, because we are in a state of awakening up now. So the Star Nation energy has kind of increased, or and at the same time our energies increased. So there's more communication going on now. I know going back in the past, there would have been a much closer connection.
Yeah. And you know, you say this is stuff that we all can do, but as I kind of alluded to, maybe we all can, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we all should, only because that may not be part of our path and our life's purpose. That, you know, that's what you're here for. You're here to transmit that information to us so that then we can take it, assimilate it, and then bring it back out through our life's purpose, through our path, through our daily activities and so forth.
Because everything is within us, so we all have the ability to be great artists or great singers or great cyclists or whatever it is we choose to do, because it's about opening a door and walking through it. It may not be our life purpose, but we all have the ability to do those things.
Well, I know that we talk to people through our guests as well to go out and seek out what your life's purpose is so that you can, so to speak, become a part. And you use the phrase waking up. I know that a lot of people are. They're beginning that process. Although I do have to admit, folks, that there are moments, and I'm sure you too, Carol, in spite of your level of awakening, if you will, or the amount of awareness that you have, there are still moments in your life when you might do something that is anything but anything other than being asleep and just kind of going through the motions. I had that experience today, as a matter of fact, and I send out apologies to the individual that I shared this experience with. I don't know who this person was. But I pulled into a parking place. I do not parallel park, okay? If there's a big, giant space, I'll pull in front first, and I'll pull up to the curb, and then I always make sure that the car in front of me, that I can see the bottom of his tires touching the roadway. The reason? Because I don't have to back up in order to pull out. All I have to do is turn my wheel and pull out. Well, this guy didn't like that. He says, "You're taking up two spaces." And I said, "No, I'm not." And I got out of my car and I went in and did my business and came back out. And of course, he was going to the same place, came in, uttered a few words to me, which I didn't respond to, and left with his purchase. Mm-hmm. And I suppose at first glance, I said, "Well, gee, that was a very unkind, very sleeping, very unenlightened way of dealing with things." But at the same time, I thought, we all do that. And I thought, well, wait a minute. You chose to be behind me. I have certain things that I do as an individual, like I said, as far as parking or even, you know, when I'm traveling and coming to a stop at a stoplight behind someone, I always make sure that same rule. My driving instructor taught me that. Said that if you pull up and you can't see the bottom of their tires and somebody does the same thing to you, guess what? You're blocked in. So that if you needed to get out, you couldn't. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, well, you know, that's all fine, well, and good. What about being nice to the guy behind you? And it's like, well, but I didn't choose for him to be behind me. He chose to get behind me. And if he wants to be upset about that, that's because, like I said, if I don't have that big space, I don't parallel park. Because I'm terrible at it. I acknowledge that, so I don't do it. To which some would say, well, then why don't you practice? I said, because I've already decided I'm not going to do that. I'll go around the block. I'll find a parking lot. In any event, we all have those moments when we're, again, sleeping. We're not living the enlightened life, if you will. And I know that it would be nice to be able to do that. But we do live in the real world. And you say you don't do any research, but I'm curious as to how much other input comes in. I mean, do you watch much television, if any? Do you read many newspapers? Are you up on current events? Or are those the kinds of things that can also get in the way of your ability to be present in the moment?
Yeah, see, So here's the thing, because society is set up to distract us so that we don't do those things and we don't end up believing that we can. So we've got telly, we've got radio, we've got the internet, we've got magazines, we've got media, we've got newspapers, we've got all the different modern day life distractions are all designed to distract us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the way the world is today, and especially in certain countries like America, where there's so much going on.
Yeah.
I think that individually it's really important to, you know, to have that inner stillness. And if you don't have it, then to create it, to get to your core, your center, so that you are peaceful and calm when things like the guy in front of you or the guy behind you comes along and decides to interrupt your day, your peace, your energy. You know, it's in those moments, it's in those small moments where we need to start to be peaceful and centered and calm and not to react to the outward situation. And one of the ways to do that is through meditation and quietness and stillness, and even just getting out into nature. Because I do have moments like that as well, you know, and I had one earlier myself. So we all have moments, but it's important to sometimes step back and just observe things rather than be trying to, rather than reacting, because it's the ego that's reacting
to
the situation. So if you try and observe your thoughts and stand back and just watch them, almost like they were separate from you on a conveyor belt, just watch and observe your thoughts and the situation rather than getting involved and engaging with the other person. Because in order to put out fire, you need water, not fire. So it's important not to get sucked into those situations because it just breeds.
The Pleiadian child is
negative energy just breeds negative energy.
Exactly. The Pleiadian child is the title of the book. My guest is Carol Noonan, and we are talking about a wide variety of things from her experiences as and I know that you use the term, at least up on your website, you use the term psychic medium. I like to use the term intuitive only because psychic medium has a lot of negatively charged energy to it, and a lot of people are put off by that, which is kind of unfortunate in one sense. But nonetheless, from that at that level,
a lot of people are put off by what?
By the term psychic.
Sorry, Richard.
Psychic medium, as opposed to intuitive.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I've experienced that, and because we all have intuition, we all have that.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if someone's put off by the word psychic or medium or channel or healing or this or that, it's really nothing to do with me at all. It's their stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I do understand. I do understand that. You have a rather lengthy, if you will, resume as far as the things that you do, that you're involved in, Reiki Master and so forth. And you also make this, it's in essence, if you will, it's a service that you provide to people, even via Skype for that matter, around the world. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the various works that you are doing these days?
You know, I've been at this kind of since I was a child. So in my early 20s, I did go on to study quite a bit. So I am qualified to do quite a lot of different things. So I do psychic readings and mediumship and a whole range of services. And also I'm a Pleiadian channel. But you know, one of the things they keep saying to me or have said to me is just to get the information out there, mm-hmm. just to share the information.
Right.
You know, and I mean, if anyone would like to have a look at this, my full range of services, then they can just go to my website, which is thepleiadianchild.com. and all my services are on there. So for me, it's really important to get the information out there. And I hope that in doing so, I may help other people who are maybe a step behind where I am, where I was a few years ago, a step behind where I am today, you know. Because there's thousands of us, you know, I know I'm not the only person channeling the Pleiadians who's had a connection to them as a child. And Barbara Marciniak does say that in one of her books as well, that, you know, we will start to remember our childhoods and having connected to them as a child. And I didn't read that until after I was connected to them and had written the majority of the book, because I didn't want anything to influence me. So some of the things they've shown me are, I remember when I was 12 and I had, my mum was watching the news and the Sphinx was on the news, and I can still see it. I saw an image of the Sphinx and I was downloaded with information which lasted, I think it was, I don't know how long it was, but it seemed to be longer than it was actually in physical time. So it was a whole load of downloaded information, but it was to do with the Sphinx's paw. And when you go down the steps, there was a secret information or knowledge hidden beneath the paw. And that happened when I was 12. I think I was 12, or maybe I was a bit younger. And also to do with, so that was one of my experiences as a child with them. And I also have an earlier one in the book as well, when I was about 8. Which was due to abuse.
I want to make a connection here, because I would like for you to talk about this. First of all, talk to us a little bit about your upbringing spiritually, religious, the philosophies that you were brought up with by your parents in particular in your community, and the connection and conversations you have had since childhood with Jesus.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, you know, my mum was a Catholic and she was a single parent. So my father was never really around. And she had her own problems. She was an alcoholic. So she wasn't really, she wasn't really very religious, but she was Catholic anyway. And I think if I'd had parents that were Buddhists, I think that perhaps the Buddha might have come to me, or if I was a different religion, then maybe a different deity would have come to me. But because we were Catholic, I think that's why Jesus came to me, because he knew I would recognize him.
Okay.
But that's interesting you would ask that, because I did, and I don't know how much of the book you've managed to read, because I only just sent it to you. But when I was 12, I had an out-of-body experience with Jesus, and I was on the verge of committing suicide, because I'd had enough. I just wanted out. And it wasn't a cry for help, because I was going to go, you know, I was going to go into a corner of my room somewhere and do it and just sign, you know, quietly take tablets. And so I lay on my bed and I was sobbing. I was crying and sobbing my heart out. And the next thing I knew, I was in the corner of the right hand room of the upper ceiling of the right hand room.
Mm-hmm.
The right hand side, sorry. And then I was looking down on my body. And the next thing I knew, I saw Jesus. You know, he came to me. And I had an out of body experience. And then he took me on a journey that lasted at least 3 or 4 hours. But when I came back, Richard, I was as peaceful as anything, a calmness, a quietness, a stillness. And I'll never forget that stillness, that peace that came over me, because he had connected to me. You know, it's like he had, everything within me changed, everything. I wasn't the same person that lay down before I had the out-of-body experience. and he took me on quite a long journey and showed me many different things, many different spiritual truths and the way things really are spiritually, to do with me and also to do with humanity as a whole. And when I came back, I was very different, but my situation hadn't changed, but I had changed. Everything within me had changed because of the experience.
Did people notice this, and were they concerned about that, or that peace that you found, did it tend to exude to these other, to everyone else around you, and it was okay? I mean, okay, she changed, but it's okay because she's feeling better about herself, kind of thing.
I was always different. I was always quiet. I was always in touch with the spirit world from a very young age. So I was always very quiet, but I was in turmoil. Internally, I was in turmoil because I wasn't in a place where I could speak out about the sexual abuse or anything. So I think people did notice that I had changed, but only those close to me, like my family, would have noticed. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure my brother noticed. But I never spoke about my experiences as a child because they were so way out there. I mean, I was being shown information in Egypt, or, you know, about the Sphinx at 12 years old, and I was connected to the Pleiadians from 8. And I was being told things like dinosaurs walked with man. And I remember that. And I remember saying to them, that's cracked. You know, that's crazy. But I now know that it's very true that dinosaurs and man coexisted at the same time. And there has been proof now. So I never spoke of my spiritual experiences as a child, because I would have been called cracked, you know, and I possibly would have been locked up if I'd spoken about the things that I was seeing and being shared with, being downloaded to, you know. Mm-hmm. I would have been locked up, you know. So I never spoke about them, and I did the right thing. Because all this stuff now that the majority of what I was shown as a child has been, is now in the mainstream and is now being proved. But back in the 80s, when I was growing up, I was right, you know, I was told to keep quiet. Mm-hmm. And I was right too.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to get into some of the things that have been shared with you, that you now share with us, not only through The Pleiadian Child, which is the book. ThePleiadianChild.com is the website. And we want you folks to stay tuned here on Tell Me Your Story for more. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Don't go away.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Carol Noonan, and we're talking about not only her book, but also the website, thepleiadianchild.com is the website. We'll be linked to her as well at our website. And I absolutely do think, folks, that it is something that we need to investigate. It's something that, you know, you can question the sources of information. Questioning does not assist us, in my opinion, in resolving the questions that we have. Researching, and that means going to the websites, for example, going to thepleiadianchild.com and finding out more about what she is talking about, getting a copy of. There's even an excerpt on her website that you can go ahead and read and check out as well. But Carol Noonan, who is the author, and she's also a blogger, she's a psychic medium, I could go down the list, but it might take the rest of the program to go down. Go to the website, The Pleiadian Child, and check it out. But I want to ask you, Carol, about some of the messages, and I'm going to start at the top of the list, so to speak, and actually you're the one that's going to provide the list. What has been, up to this point, the most profound message, or maybe better to you, the most surprising message? And I'm going to guess that the messages that have come through are more of a positive nature. You know, I mean, they're not necessarily going to tell us, yes, the end of the world is coming next week and Hawaii is going to explode and the lava is going to flow all over all nations and it's all over again. I don't think it would necessarily go quite that far. But from your perspective, what would you say would be the most surprising?
Just give me a second, Richard, because I just want to say something before I answer your question.
Yes.
You know, when people come together and meditate on a mass scale, it changes the outcomes of things. So, for example, and it's been proven to change the outcome of things on a mass scale. So because the more energy builds, the more the effect it will have in order to change the outcome. So if a mass group got together and meditated on a certain situation or something was going on where people were concerned about the outcome, if people got to get together on a mass scale and meditate on that situation with all the same intention to create a positive outcome, that makes a difference. That mm-hmm. absolutely makes a difference. So the more people that can connect and get together and do the work, and it doesn't have to take 6 hours or 3 hours, it can take 5, 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, that changes the outcome of things. If enough energy can be provided, you know, pushed to the source, that can change the outcome. So I just wanted to mention that there with what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you were about to ask that, I knew what you were going to ask. And for me personally, one of the most profound things they've told me, that the Pleiadians have told me, is that, and I quote, "We are the gods." And the word God in the Bible should be replaced with the word gods. And then things would make much more sense. To me, that's one of the most profound things. I do believe in God. I still believe in God. And so for me, that's one of the most profound things they've told me. And I've come to believe that Jesus was Pleiadian energy.
One of the things that strikes me about Jesus, and it kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier, my mother asking me if I'd ever had any supernatural experiences, the things that he did that are accounted for specifically, obviously, in the Gospels, I thought it was really interesting that from the way I read the New Testament and the four Gospels, it wasn't something, none of the things that he did surprised him. For him, it was normal. That's just the way he was. And I often...
But it is normal.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. Exactly. But it's as you've alluded to earlier, that we've been programmed to believe that we can't do these things, that they're not, that we don't have access to them. And yet Jesus even told us, and this is kind of the way I paraphrase it, they asked him, says, "Wow, that was amazing, the great Kreskin, you know, or the great Jesus. Wow, that was amazing. Could we do that stuff?" And, of course, his response was, "This? Sure. But you think that's something? You guys are going to do more amazing stuff than that." And I've often wondered what that would be. And I have a feeling that what's happening today with people such as yourself, those are some of the greater things, maybe even more so. Maybe putting it in the context of the greater things are serving and helping humanity to move forward and wake up, as you use the term in the first segment.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jesus wasn't the only one. There were so many people in history that that came from the stars in order to help us, you know, to help humanity move forward. And there were people that achieved great things and did great things for humanity, but we can all do that. The way we're just so conditioned and taught to believe that we are so less than we actually are. And I was actually very lucky, because as a child, I didn't attend my secondary school, and I tried to. I went several times, and I was always kind of held in a I was blocked from going into the school gates, and several times I tried, and it was about an hour from my home to the school. So, you know, I had to get dressed, I had to get ready, I had to put my uniform on, I had to get my bus fare and lunch and blah, 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 blah. And then I had to travel an hour to school. So I made an effort to go. But when I got there, there was a force field of energy in front of me that wouldn't let me move forward. And I used to stand there sometimes for 20 minutes, half an hour, trying to go in, and I just wouldn't be able to move. And I was told, I can't remember when I was told, but it was the Pleiadians who told me that they put that wall of energy there because they didn't want me to enter the school system, because they didn't want me to be conditioned in the same way, because if I had of, I would have lost the connection to them.
Wow.
I would have lost the connection to them.
How'd you convince your parents to go along with that?
My parents were very uninterested in what was going on with me. So they weren't, emotionally, they weren't there. My mom was an alcoholic, and she just wasn't, emotionally, she wasn't there. So she was a bad parent, so she wasn't around. You know, she just wasn't around. So, but now I think I was very lucky, actually, to not have had that, because I would have even you think it. You think I should have gone, because with the way you worded your question there, and I think we absolutely need to be educated. But the education schools, the way they're set up, they're not set up to educate kids.
They're set up to program them. They're set up to program them.
The very opposite of everything is true. Sorry, Richard. Go on.
Well, and actually, I don't agree that you should have gone. I sometimes think back on my education, and I go, why don't I know more about these different things? For example, I'll give you a case in point, and this is more into the material world of which we live. I was led to believe...
Because I didn't want you to know.
Well, exactly. But I was led to believe, as I was going through school, and we learned about the attack on Pearl Harbor, and then, of course, we entered into World War II and fought against the Japanese, that the only place that the Japanese ever made it to U.S. soil was Hawaii. It turns out when I moved to Santa Barbara and I started to hear some of the stories about how there were actually submarines off of the central coast, and even some Japanese soldiers had actually made it to the beach. And I'm going, why is it that I didn't know this? Why weren't we told this? You know, and it even goes back even further than that to some of the things that... You know, I know that even in your own history, British history, there are those who do not necessarily want to talk about some of the brutality that the British military inflicted on other peoples of other countries when they were occupying or when they were going in to take over or what have you. I mean, I don't know, because it was Hollywood. But I don't know if the scenes of brutality in the movie Gandhi or in some of the other movies where the British were involved, the only thing I have is those to as points of reference. The British military were brutal in World War II, even to their own men. I mean, it was just, they were tougher than nails. And it seems as though we don't want to take a look at the dark side of our nations or even of ourselves.
Well, I think it's to do, I believe it's to do with the War of the Worlds. And I believe that there is a war between light and dark. And it includes ET energy or Star Nation energy. You know, we're not alone. We've never been alone. And I do believe in most of the conspiracy theories. And I do believe it's part of the War of the Worlds between light and dark. And I think it's a distraction. I think it's a huge distraction. Throughout history, when you look back, it doesn't seem that we've actually advanced very much. But I think we have. I think we are evolving spiritually, and we are waking up. But I think it's a distraction. You know, the negative, the chaotic, the the disruption, the dysfunction, the hatred between brother against brother, it's a distraction. You know, if we can just find, if we can start with ourselves individually and just find our peace, our inner core, our stillness, our humanity, our, you know, we're brothers and sisters that mm-hmm. need to come together and find our essence, find our inner selves, our true nature. Sometimes it just seems like we just need to put down our weapons and just stop.
I'm with you there.
I think it was between Germany and England, where all, I'm not 100% sure who it was, but I know that during the war, there was a battle, and both sides, I think it was Christmas Day, where they just stopped. Yeah. They put down their weapons and they went and played football.
Yeah, I remember there was the Christmas. It was a Christmas Day truce.
Yeah. Mhm.
Yeah.
So we just need to, you know, put down our weapons and start questioning things. You know, I think we do need to question things. We need to question what's really going on, because it's when you look in the world today, it's crazy. You know.
Yeah, it really is.
The things we do to each other.
Yeah. So when you would be considered, would you consider yourself to be, in spite of everything that is going on, a very optimistic person? And do you get that optimism from the messages from the Pleiadians, or is that part of your natural makeup that you're very you're optimistic?
There's quite a few words that come to mind as you're talking. I'm an optimistic, yeah. I am. I'm an optimist. And I think that, you know, this is about claiming back our power now. And, you know, we are warriors that have come forth, and we've come forth, and, you know, now is the time to be acting and go getting, you know, and making changes and saying this is not okay, because we are the ones that we've been waiting for. And you know, we need to make changes and stop hiding away and thinking that the guy down the hall will go and do it, or that someone else will do it. You know, we need to start stepping up to the plate, really, and taking action and coming together and uniting and saying, this is not okay. We need to take back our power, you know.
I would agree with you that we do need to definitely do that. And I think that as you speak and as you write and you share and you work with people, I think you're doing that. I think you're helping people to wake up to do just that.
Well, I hope so. I hope what I channel makes a difference to the girl down the hall, or, you know, the spiritualist on the ground floor, or I hope that it makes a difference to them, because they may also have memories of connecting to the Pleiadians as a child, like I did, and it was my shamanic teacher in Ireland who helped me to wake up to that memory, because I didn't remember when I started the shamanic course in Ireland. I had no idea that I'd connected to that the Pleiadians had connected to me as a child. I didn't remember that. So it you know, it takes our teachers to wake us up.
I am thrilled about the fact that certainly you're doing the work that you're doing and sharing it with others, and I look forward to continued conversations with you about some of these things. Are there messages from the Pleiadians that you have received that you have felt are maybe more necessary to get out, more important in that regard for people to hear? Certainly all of them, what they're sharing with you, you're wanting to get out. But are there some messages, and can you share those with us, that you feel there's an urgency to them? Or is it just, wake up, people, wake up, turn on the alarm clock?
I think if I could sum it up in a sentence, it would be take back your power and stop giving it away to other people. You know, to power, to I know that it's, I think it's more so in America, where people believe that if you have a certificate for something, that you're a professional, or you're qualified, or you're somehow more than someone without a certificate. And the most spiritual people I've met are nobodies. You know, they don't have certificates, they don't have qualifications, they don't have this or that, but some of them are the most spiritual people you'll ever meet. So it's about taking back our power and realizing that we are eternal. We're not from here. We're divine spirit. We're divine, you know, lights that are waking up. And it may seem like it's a slow process, but to stop trusting in authority, in doctors, in lawyers, in politicians, in, you know, people that are in power and governments, you know, because they do not have our best interests at heart. They have their own agenda. And I personally believe that it's part of the war of the worlds, the war between light and dark. They do not have our best interests at heart, and they do not tell us the truth, especially when it comes to things like UFOs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, there are going to be people who they feel as though those are the important things. We need to get out. We need to vote. We need to do this. We need to do that, and so on and so forth. And I'm just sitting here going, I haven't seen, and again, I've only been around 58 years. Bear in mind, this month of June, as this broadcast is airing, I'm 58 years of age. And in the 58 years, as I track backwards and I take a look at the way that our society and civilization, our citizens have been living up to this point, I've seen absolutely no change. If anything, it's gotten worse for the common man, not better. And yet people get out there and they vote and they participate in that particular process. And there's a part of me that says, if that's not working and it's not making life better, and I go back to what you have already said, it's a distraction, then why would I waste...
It is a distraction and a form of rule.
Right. Why would I waste my energy on that when I could be using my energies for something much more productive, of a higher calling, shall we say?
Exactly. And why do you do that? Because it is a distraction, and it's a form of mass control. It's a form of mass control. TV is a form of mass control. You know, the newspapers, the media, the radio. It's a form of mass control, and it's a delusion. It's an illusion. You know, it's not real. And they're working on the same. They're all part of the same energy. Same energy.
Yeah.
So, for example, the two opposing political sides on a higher level, there's no difference. There's absolutely no difference. And it's complete nonsense. It makes no difference to our lives. And I think we would be far better off without governments, because they're it's almost like we're slaves. We're almost, you know, we're slaves, mm-hmm, to the powers that be.
I think the term they use the term indentured servant, meaning that you owe the master X number of dollars and you got to work it off before you can leave. But the problem is you can never work it off because you need the money to pay the bills for housing and transportation and sustenance and clothing and all of the other things, not to mention then the other distractions that they create to distract you from indentured servitude, like amusement parks and movies and television and so forth. It's like a multi-layered level of a series of distractions. And of course it is.
Yeah. And it's designed to be like that, Richard, to keep us enthralled, to keep us distracted, you know, in that way. It's like a matrix or being caught up in a spider web and not being able to break free of it. We don't need all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't need any of it.
Right. Well, like I said, I'm thrilled that you're out there and you're assisting us in this process through the work that you're doing. And you have been in this service, shall we say, roughly for how long? How long have you been providing these kinds of services to people, whether it be via Skype or right there in the UK or wherever you might be living at the time? Has it been only the last 8 to 10 years?
It has. I just wanted to say something very quickly.
Sure.
You know, we don't need all that stuff. The problem is that we believe it. We buy into the system and think that we need it. So we clutch at it and we try and get, you know, we try and aim for something that doesn't exist. It's impossible to ever get there because it you know, there's nowhere to get because it doesn't exist. We're being sold a lie that is bogus. Sorry, I just felt I had to mention that there. So what was your question?
You answered the question that you've been in service to community, whether it be locally or globally, for the past 8 to 10 years as far as providing people with a way for you to assist them to wake up, right? It's been about 8 to 10 years, or have you been doing it longer than that?
Well, I've kind of always been doing it since I was a child, but I started to work in 2004 as a medium, giving messages. Now, I'd been in contact with spirit before that, but I'm talking about professionally. I started to give relay messages to other people. Before that, I always had my lips sealed or my mouth closed. But in 2004, I began to give messages to other people. So I guess, you know, I stopped being quiet around 2004. And I was living in Bristol in the UK at the time.
I envy you your experiences with your shamanic teacher in Ireland, because my wife and I have been there twice, and it's been, the last time we were there was 2004. Yeah. And I have to tell you that
been to Ireland.
I have. I miss it. I miss it dearly.
Oh, great.
I miss it dearly. And yeah. I want to move there. I want to live there. I want them to lay my actually, my thought is to be cremated and have my ashes spread across the Irish Sea. But until that day, and I'm hoping it's a good 40 to 50 years off, I love the country. I love the green. I love the people. You know, it's just a marvelous place. We spent a couple of weeks back in 2004 on the coast of Galway on an island, which was weird because the islands there are so connected for the most part, called Inishnee, which is near Roundstone. And absolutely
yes,
loved it.
I know it.
Absolutely
yeah.
loved it. They have a little Baran factory there in yeah. Roundstone. I wish we could have afforded at the time to pick one of those up, but nonetheless, it just calls to me, and it's where I want to somehow wind up, you know, before I shake yeah. off this mortal coil, as the phrase goes. So very exciting that you had an opportunity to do that, and hopefully now is your shamanic teacher still residing in Ireland?
He is, and he lives in Galway.
I would love to get in touch with him and have him on the program.
I'll give you his name, Richard. It's Paul O'Halloran. So it's O'Halloran. It's O'Halloran. O'Halloran in Galway, and he's a shamanic teacher in Galway, Ireland. And he is amazing. He's an amazing guy. He's the salt of the earth. You know, he's really solid.
Well.
And he comes from a farming. He grew up in a farm.
Yeah. Well, we're very excited about the prospects, and we'll definitely want to get him on the program to, not only the information, but I could sit and listen to an Irishman for hours, sit in a pub, just nursing my Guinness and just listening to the people talk. I don't care what they're talking about. But nonetheless, it's just great. And I am grateful for the work that you're doing and how you're helping people to wake up. We're trying to do the same thing here through the guests that we have on the program. And, so this is, to me, it's very exciting to continue this process. So, again, I thank you so much for joining us on the program. Before I let you go, first of all, I want to extend an invitation to you that if you should find yourself across the pond and on the west coast of California, central Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
I'd absolutely love to meet you, and I've no doubt I will one day be in America.
The Pleiadian Child is the title of the book. ThePleiadianChild.com is the website. We'll be linked to Carol Noonan's website as well, and you can listen to this interview. We encourage you to also go to either the radio show's page, SoundCloud, or iTunes to listen to this interview in its entirety, because the radio broadcast is only 50 minutes long, folks, with one break in the middle. And we talked a lot longer than that on the full version. So I encourage you to get a copy and or go to those locations and listen. I have three final questions for you, Carol, and I'll put them to you one at a time. And you can answer them in any way that you please. You probably already know the questions I'm going to ask you, so here we go. First question is,
okay,
who is Carol Noonan?
I'm one of the Pleiadian children. I'm one of the star seeds that were contracted in to come here on Earth at this time, and I'm one of many. I'm not special or different or unique, and yet I am, because I don't buy into the system. So that, you know, separates me and makes me different. But I'm one of the group that contracted in to come here to change the way things are.
Second question is, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
If I can make a difference to one person, it's worth the while. You know, and I did have a very traumatic childhood with a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of poverty, a lot of neglect, a lot of dysfunction. And I always had spirit helping me, whether it was my Auntie Kathleen, or whether it was Pleiadian energy, or whether it was my granddad. I don't remember a time in my childhood when spirit wasn't there for me. And I have so much admiration for people who go through sexual abuse, because I don't know how they get through it. I only got through it because I had spirit and my guides, and I was aware of them. You know, so I've just got so much admiration for people who go through traumatic childhood or traumatic childhoods without the help of spirit, because I don't know, honestly, Richard, I don't know how they deal with that stuff, how they get through it.
Well, I think I can tend to agree with you on that. It's not something that is easily gotten over, but it's like, how did you do that? You know, tell me so I can share it with others and let them heal as well. And final question for you, what is your life's purpose?
I believe it's to connect with the Pleiadian energy, for me to understand who I am, that I was never that little girl that people said I was, and to share that with other people so they can realize that they were never that person either, because our power has been taken away from us, our memory has on a higher level or a deeper level, our memory has been taken away from us. And there is a veil of amnesia that surrounds the earth, I believe. There's a veil of amnesia that surrounds the earth. So we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten where we come from. We're not from here. We need to wake up. And the only, I believe, one of the easiest way to do that is through meditation, or past life regression, or hypnosis. It's the easiest way to access it.
Well, again, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program, sharing your insights from the Pleiadian through the work that you're doing with especially this book that is available online. It's available at Amazon.com, as well as your website, which is ThePleiadianChild.com. And we encourage folks to do that. Any last words, if you will, for our listeners from you today?
Just be happy. You know, be love. Come from a, find your stillness. Find your inner peace. To the point that no matter what happens to you, it doesn't matter. You know, find your stillness. And again, that can come through meditation. And be happy. Learn not to react to life situations. So if a guy comes up to you and he's full of anger, or he's, you know, if a guy walks up to you in the street and he punches you, the best thing to do is stand back and walk away. Because there's a lesson there, you know, because violence breeds violence. Negative energy breeds negative energy. So the trick is to cut it off and walk away from it. Don't engage with it.
Good advice. Good advice. Again, Carol Noonan, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me.
I'm Richard Dugan.
It's been really great to talk to you.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed it, too. And maybe, who knows, maybe what I'll do is forget about coming to Santa Barbara. I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you in Ireland.
You've got a deal.
Absolutely. I'm Richard Dugan. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time. Love Talal.